Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now back to Bonte, Steiny, and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Matt Steinmetz, Dal the Guru Johnson, and Bonte Hill joining you. Good afternoon, everybody. It's lunchtime. Hope that everybody's getting through this Tuesday okay. Hope you're sheltering in place, staying healthy, and practicing good hygiene. Sooner we all do that, sooner we can kind of get back to something resembling normalcy. We're just batting around a few topics, and one of the topics was just about when you see an athlete in high school who's just dominant and how much fun it is. And we got to talking about Jason Kidd.
How he standing Rube only, Steiny.
Yeah, and I don't know if you have the details on this, but I guess some of his games were moved to accommodate bigger crowds. They didn't play in the regular old high school gym. In fact, I'm looking at another guy I saw in high school, and this guy was unbelievable. Billy Owens was an incredible high school player.
Billy O.
Yeah, Billy Owens.
Now, was he bigger than everybody, or what was he like?
He was 6'9" by his senior year, and in the state championship game, he had 53. So his senior year, his Carlisle teams won four straight state championships in the biggest, Quad A, which are the biggest schools. And he played with, I think I've told you this before, one of his teammates in high school was Lee Woodall, the former 49er linebacker.
Oh, yeah, linebacker. Looked like Holyfield.
Exactly. So Billy Owens played with Jeff Lebo, who played at North Carolina, was a good guard. Then Lee Woodall was also on his high school team. And then there was another player who also got drafted in the NFL. So they were four straight. Billy Owens is 20-0 in Pennsylvania State playoff games. Never lost. Freshman year, won a state title. Sophomore, junior, senior. So there's my Billy Owens story. Let's go to Danker, our main man, Danker. Danker's in the city. He's got a story to tell us.
I got high school. I got all that. But I'll tell you something funny. When Igor Oshansky was recruited to St. Ignatius for basketball, I thought I was going to SI at the time, and I'm there for football stuff. And some guy and I were seeing eye to eye, and I see he has my backpack.
And what are you talking about, Danker?
Well, I'll tell you, and then I see this guy's about to steal my backpack, and then I realize Igor Oshansky is standing behind him. And I go, "Hey, Igor, he's got my bag." And Igor just goes, "Put down the bag." The guy drops the bag and just starts running. But I have a great 30 for 30 for you.
All right?
Okay. Igor's a great guy. Great 30 for 30, 1951 USF Dons, undefeated football team, that decided not to play in the Orange Bowl because their African-American players weren't invited. And one of the coolest stories I ever got to experience in life was I was assisting the funeral service for Burl Toller, which was one of those players, and he happened to hurt his knee, so he didn't get to the NFL, but he was the first African-American referee in the NFL. And during a game, one of the players, I believe he was a Raider, was popping off to Burrow, telling him how he wouldn't have made it to the NFL and things like that. And Burrow said, if you have a shot to get to the end zone, I'm going to beat you. So there was a giant picture displayed at the altar, and there's a picture of Burrow in his NFL referee uniform signifying a touchdown. And you see the end zone. The Raider hasn't crossed the end zone yet because Burrow is signifying his touchdown over that player. It's pretty awesome, and there should be a movie and everything about that team for what it stood for, and all the talent and all the Hall of Famers that were on that team, Bob St. Clair. It's just a very rich, rich team that should get its due. So
thanks, Danker. Sharing it appreciate with it. Yeah, Danker, you just gave you
not like memories.
Yeah, appreciate it. Let's see. You want? Let's go to Miguelito. Miguelito's in the city. What's going on, Miguelito?
Hi, hi, fellas. Hold on one second, please. I graduated from Mission High School in 1976, and in 1977, before I graduated, there was a guy named Levi Armstrong, and he was like, he was all American and everything. You know, he had the jacket with all the stuff on it, the ladies. He was like a
what
grown
school?
Man, and. That's the guy I remember as a superstar when I was a kid. You know, I was like 5'3" when I graduated from high school. I'm 6 foot now, but he was like the super duper guy. He played a little bit for UCLA as a cornerback or something like that. But
all right,
he was that super duper everything.
Thanks, Miguelito. Appreciate it, Bonte.
Yeah, Levi Armstrong was
on Levi Armstrong.
Levi Armstrong was a Olympic medalist. Went to Mission High School. All academic, won an Olympic medal. So he was a legend. 71-74, football, baseball, track, and baseball, fellas. One of the top all-around athletes in the Bay Area and in San Francisco. Won the Football Player of the Year in 1973. One of the leading scorers in basketball. Scored 53 against John O'Connell in 1974. Levi Armstrong. Everybody in the city growing up knew about the legend that was Levi Armstrong.
Bonte, who's the best player? Because I got to imagine the city best high school basketball player you've ever laid your eyes on.
That's tough. That's tough. I mean, you had a lot of good players in this city. But I'm going to lean from what I saw. Man, you know what? It was before my time, and everybody knows this guy. Winters Patterson. Winters Patterson, mid-90s. He dropped 82 points in a game against Skyline High School in Oakland. 82. Balboa was legit. They had this in you can look this up on the Chronicle, the Jet offense. They had Marquette Alexander, who ended up going to Hawaii. He was a 6'8 big man, and Winters Patterson was a point guard. I mean, he averaged 36 a game his senior year. They played in one of the most iconic games in the city against St. Ignatius in the state playoffs. Balboa in the city was a number one seed, in Division One, and he played against Ali Thomas and my guy Justin LaBall, head coach of City College of San Francisco, and SI beat him at Keysar. They had a guy named, the name is slipping me, but he hit nine consecutive three-pointers in that game. He could not miss. It was at Keysar Pavilion. It was iconic. Winter Patterson, unfortunately, though, fellas, he went to a national JUCO, and at the age of 19, he came back to the city, was playing three-on-three, and he got back on defense, and it kind of reminded you of Hank Gathers at LMU. He just kind of passed out, and he passed away at the age of 19. So Winters Patterson, never got to see him, but from what I read growing up as a kid, he was the best player in San Francisco. Number two would be Kenny Walls, who led Galeo to a city championship. They beat SI in the first round of a tournament, lost to St. Joe's and Ray Young, and he ended up going to Boston College for 4 years playing at Boston College.
I'm reading a story from the Chronicle in 1997. Winters Patterson, the star guard who averaged 41 a game during the 95-96 season at Balboa High School, died yesterday after slipping in a pickup basketball game and hitting his head. Patterson, 19, was taken to the hospital where he died from a seizure or a heart attack. Oh, my gosh.
Yep. Wow. Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, fellas, growing up in the city, you just read about him in the Chronicle.
How big was he?
It was, what, 6'1", 6'2", if that? And they went to a tournament in Las Vegas, and he just put himself on the map. He was scoring like 70. I mean, he dropped 82 in the game, and it was like, this guy's legit. And you know what? I mean,
the game, somebody, my guy Dwayne Deadmans, I'm slipping the name here on Twitter, but he sent the video, a link to a video of that SI Balboa game and the highlights of that game. Keys are.
Oh, you got to send that out. Yeah. You got to send that out, B. Wow.
No doubt.
Let's go to Steve. Steve is in San Ramon. What's going on, Steve?
Hey, how you fellas doing today?
Doing well.
Hey, so there's always a player that in the Bay Area here seems to get overlooked, and he's from my alma mater in Fremont. This kid who was just super, Lamon Murray.
Oh, yeah. Huh.
Played at Kennedy, then he, and Guru may want to look this up. He went down to Logan in the NBL championship, threw down about
score 54. Points. Yeah.
Excuse me?
I think he scored 54 points.
Yeah, he scored a ton, and I remember at the time I had a brother who went there, but I had already graduated. I remember storming the floor, and that was a lot of fun. He went on. Next time I saw him was against Jason Kidd at the Oakland Coliseum. It was in one of the state championship games, and that's the first time I saw Kidd. And believe me, I'm a big Murray fan, and he was just amazing. But you know, Jason Kidd played at a different speed. And and I think that's kind of what you saw also, too, when they went to Cal together. They had a great run, and Murray was a big part of that. But I don't know. He doesn't seem to get any love around here.
Yeah, I remember Lamon Murray at Cal, obviously. But I also do remember he was a big prospect coming out. Like, he definitely wasn't an unknown.
No, I'm seventh pick in the draft. I mean, he was a solid pro. He wasn't a great
pro. Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I mean coming out of high school, he was a prospect too.
Oh yeah, yeah. And I think that's one of the big reasons that Kidd did stay and go to Cal. I mean, Kidd, we always kind of hoped he would stay local, but I think him and Murray, you know, together, if you look at the rest of the roster from that, you know, a couple years there, it was okay, but those guys were dynamite. They were really fun to watch, and they were just really good.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
And Stani Bonte, Jay Kidd, real quick, Stani, you had mentioned moving the gyms or the sites. He went to St. Joe's, so the gym was kind of small. So he was such a box office hit, they would move it to – it was then Cal State Hayward, but it's now Cal State East Bay, and that's where Jay Kidd would have the pace. You would have thought Kobe or Jordan was playing, man. And watching him on drive and dunk Stani and Bonte like an airplane down the runway taking off – and everybody had the collective same breath, just like you just knew you were watching greatness, man. And dude went on to be what he was, NBA champ and a Hall of Famer. But Lamon Murray, I'm going to say this, he had that NBA body and size, but, I'm sure it didn't go the way he wanted to. But to get drafted, that lets you know you got game. But his career didn't go as long as Jason Kidd's.
This guy, Drew from Oakland on the text line, fellas, from the 510, says he was at that game when Winters Patterson lit up Skyline. He was at that game in the mid-90s. I mean, this guy was on the art. Fellas, he was in the paper like every single game, man. He was must-see TV offense. Yeah, no, Winters Patterson's tiny. You're going to be blown away when you read up on him.
Let's go to Jocko. Jocko's in Pacifica. What's going on, Jocko? How you doing, man?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Hey, Bonte, you grew up in the city, and I moved out here in the mid-80s, but I think it was the early 90s, there used to be Pro-Am games. They still are at Keysar. Did you go to any of those games by chance?
I went to one, and I couldn't get into a couple because Jason Kidd, Gary Payton, Brian Shaw, a couple other guys were on one team. So those games, pretty well played in that league. Those games were – Keysar Pavilion was jumping in the 90s when it came to the Pro-Am.
Yeah, so I used to go to those all the time, and that's what I was going to talk about. I got to see Jay Kidd play against – I think Tim Hardaway even one game came and played just for fun, and seeing him go against Payton was incredible as well. But there's a couple of stories about Keysar I just wanted to share with you guys. When they draft, I think there was a draft when they got, I think it was Victor Alexander, Gatling, and Sprewell all in the same draft. Is that right, Matt?
The third guy was a guy named Sean Vandiver, Vandiver.
Okay.
But go ahead. I know the draft you're thinking of.
So I was in Kezar, and Nelson was just sitting in the stands watching a play. So I went and sat right behind him, just got to hear him talk about the players and how high he was on them. And that was pretty fun. But there was one game when everybody was in there, and there was this murmur, and it started building and building. And I was looking around trying to figure out what was going on. And I think it was the season where Deion Sanders was playing for the Niners and the Giants, and he came in with a little entourage and sat in the stadium too, and that was pretty cool.
Thanks for the call. I almost want to say I have a memory of that, of Deion being there or hearing about him. Not that I was there, but that I heard that he would either go or went one time. I can't remember. Let's see. Let's go to Eric. Eric's in Oakland. Then we'll get to the debater. What's going on, Eric?
Hey, guys. I got to be honest with you guys. You know, DJ Williams, man, I saw him play in person. I saw Jason Kidd play in person. But DJ Williams was one of the most amazing athletes at his age that I've ever seen. I mean, the guy was a man-child, like you guys said. He was he went to Miami, and he went there as a running back. Could you imagine who they had there? Clinton Portis, Frank Gore, Willis McGahee himself. He couldn't crack, and he was all state. He couldn't crack that lineup to the point where they tried him at fullback, and he had a fumble in one game, and then they said, okay, enough offense. And he ended up being drafted, I think, by Denver, number 17 overall in the first round. The guy was a freak. I saw him.
Hey, Eric. And you want to talk about star power? Remember at fullback, Eric, remember at fullback at Miami when DJ Williams was playing fullback? He scored a touchdown in the Sugar Bowl against Florida coming out of the backfield as a fullback.
Oh, yeah. That's how deep that backfield was. But then he had a fumble, and I don't think he ever saw the ball again after that on the offensive side. But DJ Williams, when I saw him play, and he had star power too, De La Salle used to play at DBC, and they'd sell out, and it was nuts. You'd see him run for like 7 or 8 yards before he was touched, kind of like Emmitt Smith used to do. It was just, I mean, ridiculous to see in person. The guy was a freak.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
DJ Williams.
DJ Williams, fellas, he had to hit it a year on High School Sports Focus. He used to air every Friday night at 11 o'clock. Rob Bernstein was the host. And I think it's now renamed Cal High Sports. I remember going on locals. They give you the free T-shirt and the pizza for being a high school team of the week or whatnot. But DJ Williams was all over High School Sports Focus. And I still remember the hit of the year to this day. He knocked some guy's mouthpiece out on the wide receiver screen. And it was like, who is DJ Williams?
Damn!
And we thank the heavens we're not playing De La Salle this week. Or
thank you,
because he was that lethal.
Now, Stoddy, I don't know about Bonte, but I believe if this had been true, I would already know about it. So I'm asking you, not being a smartass, but in Pennsylvania, Reading, do you think there's a couple guys walking around to say Matt Steinmetz was the best high school guy I went against? Because we know we didn't have it. Your boy didn't have it for me in the U, so we know that. I'm asking you that.
Are there people walking around Reading, Pennsylvania, who
guys you went up against? Would say Steinmetz might have been the best high school player. You were tooting your horn yesterday. I know you kind of.
Well, I guess it's possible, but I can't imagine anybody's talking about me in Reading, Pennsylvania. But, I mean, I was the player of the year in my county, which was 20 schools.
You might get that qualifies, so, Bonte. I don't know if you were. I wasn't.
But they stunned.
No, I definitely wasn't. Nobody knew who Bonte Hill was.
I thought you were going to ask athletics. I thought you were going to ask me the best players to ever come out of Reading.
Oh, no, I was asking. But if you got player of the year in your county, there's somebody that's like Stoddy gave us the business that thinks highly of your game. That's all. That's
yeah.
Going.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Guru. You're doing a great job. Appreciate it.
Bonte, you and me, we
Simon,
make
you're doing
it,
a
huh?
great job.
I want to talk to B in Alameda because B's got a name that I've heard on the text line here and there, and then I got a little update. What's going on, B? How are you?
Hey, what's up, guys? First time, long time.
Thank you.
Yeah. Back in '98, I went to Alameda High. And we went against the big Ray Young.
Yeah.
Heard the name.
With the UCLA.
Yeah.
UCLA.
Yeah.
So I played football, and I thought I was a big, strong guy. Just got off my creatine regimen, right? And so I get the task of guarding Ray Young. And I was all fired up. You know, I'm trying to get in his head. That ball tips. And, you know, with 5 minutes in the game, I figured I had three fouls. I had to go to the bench. So I'm still trying. When I get back in the game, the second half, I'm trash talking a little bit, and all of a sudden, his two guards just get in my face. They had his back, and they lightweight shut me up real quick. So Ray Young, he was a beast. He ended up doing a little rim shaker, a couple of them that game, but just his legs, his whole body, he was a man child.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. I played pickup against Ray Young a few times.
Ray Young, what's the scout report on him, Steiny?
We played at UCLA, so he was pretty good. Pretty good. But what I remember is, I mean, gosh, this is really weird that Bonte brought up Winners Patterson. 3 years ago, I remember this. Former UCLA star Ray Young III collapsed on a basketball court last week and is now out of a coma. 3 years ago, he's 40 now. He was 37. He was playing in a pickup game, and he just.
I'm 40. I remember that. I'm a man.
He just fell to the ground.
Scary stuff, man.
Yeah. So he was in a coma for two. He was in a coma for 2 days. Jeez.
Oh boy.
Hopefully he's fully recovered at this point. But yeah, no. Ray Young was a really good. You know, good player at UCLA, but I've heard that in high school he was kind of another level, like really.
Yeah,
really
not good. not to throw salt on his name, but we had high expectations for him going to UCLA because that's when UCLA was UCLA. He was playing with Baron Davis and Earl Watson and those guys, and you know some folks around here were a little disappointed with the way his career played out at UCLA, but he still represented the Bay Area. But the hype around him, because they ended up playing Galileo in a NorCal playoff game. Galileo here in San Francisco. They played against Kitty Walls, and they ran him in the second round. And Ray Young, he did his thing, and he was always on Sports Focus, always in the news. We just thought he would be, you know, he was a McDonald's All-American, fellas. McDonald's All-American. Yeah. So, you know, the way his career ended up at UCLA, no, nevertheless, he still got a scholarship at UCLA and played some big-time basketball. I'm just glad, Steiny, that he's okay, man. I didn't hear that story at all.
Yeah, he bounced back from that.
Raider Debater in Oakland. What's going on, Raider Debater?
BSGME, the band is back. My brothers, what's up, fellas?
Hey, hey.
What's up, baby?
Hey, what's going on? What's going on? So I just wanted to switch gears real quick back to the documentaries. And I think the five-year dynasty run for the Warriors would be must-see TV. First off, I would like to know the dynamic of the Splash Brothers, Steph and Clay, because they don't really seem that close to me at all. So I want to know a little bit more about their relationship and how they have so much synergy on the court, but not off the court. Then I want to know something more about the KD years. And I think the last year KD was here, the Warriors weren't torn between the KD Draymond beef. I think the Warriors were tired of KD rumors and that KD wasn't dismissing them. And the fact that I believe players and coaches were getting tired of Draymond's antics, which leads me to the real story of the Warriors documentary. And that would be Draymond Green as the adopted son of Joe Lacob. And why Warriors fans are so enamored with Draymond Green, even though you can make a case that he was a key piece on building the dynasty and a key piece to destroying it. I mean, he pretty much ran the best player out of town. Guru already stated that Kerr was mouthed off saying, I'm expletive tired of Draymond, but I believe 100% that Joe Lacob would fire Steve Kerr before he would get rid of Draymond. Months after the Draymond KD fight, Joe Lacob comes out and says, we want Draymond Green to be a Warrior for life. And I think KD at that point was just like, I'm out. Plus, if you think about it, if KD signs the max with the Warriors, do the Warriors extend Draymond's contract? So I think that may have played a part in the fight, too. So I would want to know more from Joe Lacob on why he picked pretty much Draymond over KD. But that's it.
Wow.
Thanks for the call.
And there's no, real quick, there's no doubt in my mind that Draymond got that contract. That was a byproduct of them knowing that KD was not coming back. Because you couldn't have had both. And if I'm Joe Lacob, and this is no shade or hate, if you're telling me it's Durant or Draymond Green, fellas, it's Kevin Durant in a Texas second.
Don't forget, Draymond signed that contract in the offseason when KD was gone. It kind of came out of nowhere. So the Warriors could have waited and just played it out and said, okay, let's see how Draymond Green plays in the contract here. It felt like KD had his mind up early in that season. I was in denial. Guru, you may have been in denial, but after a while, it just felt like KD's gone no matter what the Warriors decide what to do. Even if they wanted Kevin Durant, I think Kevin Durant would have still bolted for the Brooklyn Nets.
Yeah, you know, it's funny now looking back at it, because it's easy to boil it down, and I maybe have to say, you know, Draymond and KD didn't get along. They just didn't get along, and that's the way it was, and that's the way it was going to be. But, I mean, KD, the Warriors kind of – I think the way KD feels is they went out and got KD. Here's what I think. I think KD felt like there was a bait and switch. That's what I think. Wow. I think they went. I mean, listen, I'm over dramatizing.
No, that's a sales term. I love it though.
But so they all go to the Hamptons, and I think they basically was like, we need you. I don't think we can win without you. You make us great. And they clearly flattered him and recruited him. Then I think he got to the university, got to the college or whatever, the Warriors, and it wasn't what they cracked it up to be in his mind. That's kind of what I think may have been part of it. But, like, you know, keep in mind too. I remember talking to people before last year started, even before they played game one, going into Durant's last year with the Warriors. I remember people saying everybody thinks Durant's leaving. Like, the league believed Kevin Durant was going to leave before the season started. So maybe there wasn't anything specific. All right, here's what's coming up on 95.7 The Game, brought to you by Chilton Auto Body. We are talking about what documentary would you love to see made. Michael Jordan, Chicago Bulls documentary coming out on April 19th. They're pushing it forward a couple months. And so what documentary would you like to see be made at 888-957-9570? All sponsored by Chilton Auto Body. World has changed dramatically, and Chilton Auto Body is committed to trying to help maintain a sense of normalcy. All Bay Area Chilton Auto Body locations are open to support you. They'll even deliver your car to you when it's ready to drive after they fix it. They'll also come pick it up, take it to their place, fix it, and bring it back. So schedule your appointment today at ChiltonAutoBody.com.
Now back to Bonte, Steiny, and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, remember, everybody, if you can't have a radio nearby, you can always have Bonte, Steiny, and Guru nearby. All you got to do is download the radio.com app, search 95.7 The Game, and then add it to your favorites. Don't miss a second, whether you're at home, in your car, or at work. And you can always use that rewind feature to catch any moments you missed from the last 24 hours. I got to say, I'm listening to parts of the morning show. So when we were back to normal, pre-coronavirus, I would always listen to the boys on the radio as I drove to the BART, you know, 10, 15 minutes. But now I listen to the boys, and I'm talking about the boys in the morning, with the radio.com app. It's very, very simple. It's very simple. It basically, all you have to do is touch a button, and you can take Bonte, Steiny, and Guru with you all the time. Bam. By the way, did you guys hear the bad news?
What's the bad news?
This was in the Chronicle. The Bay Area is drinking 42% more alcohol during the shelter in place.
Yep.
42%
more. That doesn't surprise me at all.
That's what bothers me, though, fellas. I haven't been a part of that. I'm not of the 42 because, you know, I'm walking around the house. I don't want to be tipsy with the kids around, and I'm just, I kind of, maybe I need that in my life. Maybe I'll go do something today and, you know, get a little beverage. Maybe that's what's going on. I didn't lost my waist. Normally, you know, I like a little, taste a little something. I haven't had, it's like I'm on Rikers Island. Maybe I need to get some juice in my life, fella. I'm going to do that today. Tell you how it went tomorrow.
I was day drinking.
A margarita or something. Get a margarita or something, Guru. It's okay to be tipsy around.
Maybe that's what it is. That's what I'm missing, Stoney.
Maybe you'll be able to play video games with your kids a little tipsy.
Yeah. Everything in moderation. Everything in moderation, but I mean, Goo, you know, this is very interesting because I'm sure a psychiatrist or psychologist could have a field day with this because that didn't cross my mind at all not to drink during this period. So it's like because Goo, you and I will go out and have, you know, we'll have a nice drink after work once in a while. So it's, I know you do partake occasionally. So for you not to partake at all is a little bit strange. Yeah, get on the horse, Goo. Or off, whichever one is the drinking one.
And during this, I was going to call it timeout, during the break, I was thinking, what doc would I want to see? I said, you know, because we want drama. And then I slapped myself with my left hand. I said, Shaq and Kobe. I want behind the scenes of how volatile that really got, how frustrated was the great Zen master, and like the last caller had just mentioned, how close were Kobe and Shaq? But I think I got the answer to that before Kobe unfortunately passed, when Shaq and Kobe sat down and they talked about, it wasn't a joke, but they were kind of more on the same page more than a lot of people thought. But I would love to see a young Kobe Bryant and Shaq O'Neal, when Shaq start realizing this dude's coming for the throne and L.A. may be his. And Dr. Buss gave the keys to young Kobe Bryant.
I looked at the text line.
Especially Guru after that 04 finals against the Pistons, where they got beat in five games. And it was a big-time disconnect
between
Kobe and Shaq. He wouldn't pass on purpose. But I want to see, just if we want to keep it in the Bay Area, I want to see the Harbaugh led 49ers because Alex Boone is against Harbaugh now. Who was anti Harbaugh? Who wasn't? How was the relationship between him and Trent Baalke, Jed York? I need to see what really went on behind the scenes in Santa Clara during those 4 years under Jim Harbaugh, because when it crumbled, man, it crumbled and it was done. And the Niners didn't recover for a few seasons after that.
I'm going to shout out the real Cornbread on Twitter. He says, one of you guys, give your boy the real Cornbread some love. I'm a hearing you every day.
I love you.
There it is, Cornbread.
There it is.
The real Cornbread.
I can't remember the last time your boy had some cornbread. I don't know about you
two. It's been a long time. It's been a long time.
Yeah.
Let's go to Papa J. Papa J's in Vallejo. What's up, Papa J?
Oh, thanks a lot, fellas. You guys bring joy to my heart because TV is repeats and all this crazy stuff, but you guys you're real and you're live and you're up close and personal, and I appreciate it.
Thank you, man.
So this thing about Steph Curry and Chris Paul, it's been on my mind for a little bit, and I think a documentary or 30 for 30 based on the rivalry/bitterness that goes on between these two, and I think it's self-imposed behind Chris Paul and his commercials. Okay? Now, hear me. Cole Perez with the State Farm, and before then it was Harden. And before then, Chris Paul was solo, but he had this doppelganger, this twin, and he was doing the State Farm commercials. And at the time, I believe he was considered one of the top two point guards in the league, him and D. Will out of Utah. So, you know, he had a spot and he was grinding. And all of a sudden, you see Steph on this commercial. And he's going up the escalator. And Chris is going down. Both have twins, you know. And I'm saying, whoa. Now, I don't know the exact time frame of these events, but I believe soon after is when Stephen took Chris to school and dropped him in recess, and it went viral. And, you know, then Chris
that was like
got his
I think that was 5 years ago, actually. I think I want to say it happened 5 years ago today, even maybe. I saw something on Twitter about it.
So the escalator thing was the seed, you know, and I don't remember that. You know, but with because Chris was at the top of his game, but all of a sudden, you know, that escalator thing, that commercial was prophetic. It really was, because they squashed the trade to the Lakers. David Stern said, nope.
That's right.
And so Chris had this bitterness in his heart. And then as Stephen started to mature and won his first title, and then Durant came along, and Chris was just wandering back and forth different teams. Playing with Harden was the wrong thing to do. But, you know, he just got lost in the shuffle. But there's some bitterness going on. I would really like to. And then the practice session where Stephen tried to reserve that, and Chris said, no, there's something going on.
Oh, yeah. That was I think, before a game in the Western Conference Finals. No, that's a – thanks for the call. That's
jealousy.
Yeah. I mean, that would be a – that'd be a very good one, because Chris Paul, you know, tutored Steph Curry, essentially. You know, they played together back in Charlotte. Chris Paul was looked up to by Steph Curry. So I do think it'd be fun to kind of look at their relationship, because clearly it's probably changed over the course of time. I have no idea where it is now.
You think Paul resents him, Bonte? You think he resents that Curry, you know, not that he was ever a threat, but that he got so big to where we talk about he revolutionized the game, that maybe Chris Paul resents him now?
Maybe. I mean, you know, it was funny, the whole Draymond quote where he just told Chris Paul, like, hey, Steph ain't scared of you no more, because Steph went to his camp and he was in awe of Chris Paul. It was like a built-in – how could I say this? It was like already assumed that after LeBron won his championships, Chris Paul was next in line. And Curry kind of wrecked it. You know, Curry and the Warriors wrecked the league, where it was just like, wait a minute, this isn't supposed to happen. He's winning MVP awards. He's not a poster boy. He's deemed as the best point guard. And the Warriors kind of broke apart Lob City. They ended Lob City, basically. So I don't know if there's any resentment. I think they're cool, but there could be some jealousy from Chris Paul when it comes to Steph Curry, no doubt. Because this era of basketball, this last decade, we're going to remember it more. When it comes to point guards, we'll say Steph Curry's name before we say Chris Paul's name.
Let's go to Jeff. Jeff's in Benicia. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Doing well.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. I'm going back to the old high school.
Yeah.
So 1976, Bill Cartwright, Tournament of Champions in Oakland against a bunch of very good players from the Oakland League, and he dominated. And then I'm from Benicia, so I played against Delta High School and my junior and senior year in baseball, and more importantly in football. The dominant player was Tony Eason, who went on to be a New England Patriot. And
sure.
He may have gotten to the Super Bowl. Or it may have been Steve Grogan. It's been a while. So.
Tony Eason, I want to say he went to Illinois, but I might be wrong.
Number 11.
He did, and then he became a Patriot.
Yeah, I remember. Right. I remember Tony Eason and Steve Grogan for sure. Yeah, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. That's a good one. The talking about great high school athletes, and 510 says, how could you not mention Dontrell Willis? Dontrell Willis,
Alameda.
Yeah, so he's. I'm trying to look at some other names on here.
Jimmy Rollins was up there. Jimmy Rollins, I think, with the NCAA in Alameda as well.
Did you get to see him play, Bonte? I hadn't.
I didn't. No. That was maybe a little before my time, but no, I didn't see J-Roll.
Let's go to Miles. Miles is in Livermore. Hey, Miles.
What's up, guys? Thank you for what you do. I'm Miles out here in Livermore. I really like this high school topic. Also, I want to say, hope everyone's staying safe out there, staying their distance and stuff like that. Send my breath and my prayers out to everyone. But, man, I remember looking at a high school all league when I was playing high school. I got to play against Mark Mattson and Randy Wynn in a junior league when I was a freshman in high school. They were on San Ramon together. Eddie House I played against twice at Hayward High. Don't forget about the Skywalker, Gerald Walker from Hayward High. And don't forget about the Berries over in De La Salle. This was all around the same era. If you look at the all-league team from the high school team then, almost all of them were NBA players.
Good stuff, man. Good stuff. So all the all the batteries
you guys for what you do. Thank you for everything you guys do. I appreciate it. God bless.
Thank you, man. Thank you. Appreciate it. So did all the batteries go to De La Salle? There's Brent, John, Scooter.
Scooter. Yep.
I think there's one more.
That I don't know.
I don't know if all of them went there or not, but
Drew, John, Barry, Scooter. Four, right? Four Barry Bulls?
Yeah, four.
Yep.
Imagine that.
John,
Barry's
Brent,
dad.
Drew. Yeah, and Scooter. Yep. Well,
Brent,
we
listen to those. Steiny
knows where I'm going with this. I believe that one alone. I'm going to leave it alone.
Where are you going, B? Help me out.
I'm going to leave it alone. I'm just going
to
leave it alone.
You think that helped him get to one of, help him get to the league?
Who?
Well,
Brent was a, Brent had game.
They all,
Brent Barry.
No.
Yeah,
no
they all had
thing.
Game.
To me, there's okay, no yeah, such see, thing right. in sports. Like, you end up where you end up. Like,
wow.
nobody's going to have a Barry on their
There's
roster.
There's no hookup is what you're saying. No hookup.
I mean, I'm sure you could make a phone call and get a – you know, I have no idea. But I would figure, let's say you can't play in the NBA, maybe you're Rick Barry's son, you could get a – you know, you could make a call and try to see if you can make a team in Europe, but you still got to make the team.
Yeah.
Like, nobody's just going to let you hang around – you know, because I mean that's one thing that's kind of cool. Actually, you know what? How about this? You would talk about hashtag random, all right? Although I think you know what? Never mind. I think I brought it up again. I think I brought it up before, and I'm just losing my mind. So I'll tell you guys at the break. You tell me if I said it already on the air, Mike, Palo Alto. What's going on, Mike? Let's keep it moving, Steinmetz.
Hey guys. I'd like to watch a Tiger Woods documentary with the vantage point of all the girls that he was talking to and then his downfall. That's a very interesting story to me.
Interesting.
I would be all man. I would be tuned in.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Or was he that guy? I'm not judging. Nobody can judge Tiger. But let's be honest. He had the guy next door.
Hey,
you know, he
Tiger.
Was proper. But – you know, he was hanging around Barkley and Jordan, so he wasn't a priest by any stretch. I'm just – a lot of people judged him and turned on him. And at the end of the day, he made a mistake that a lot of men do and women in this country. But I just think he had built himself up like he was so holier than now that when he did make a mistake and the type of mistakes he made with infidelity, that people just buried him.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Tiger.
I mean, I think
you root for him now because he hit the bottom, right? I mean, he's hit the bottom, and now he's trying to get back up. But I think he's got more fans now, fellas, because he hit the bottom, and now people are like, you know what? I wouldn't mind watching Tiger win another major or two.
I think a lot of it's maturity,
he's been to the bottom.
Because I know I had tears coming down my eyes when he won his last Masters. I don't know why it was just like it was special. I mean, the guy literally hit rock bottom. He hit rock bottom, and to win that Masters with a back that's fused up and the way he won it, I had tears coming down my eyes, man. I don't know what it was about Tiger. Maybe it is the story. It's kind of like Derrick Rose. I put Derrick Rose he's not in that stratosphere with Tiger Woods, but like he won an MVP, the youngest NBA player to ever win an MVP. He wins that MVP. He goes through all the injuries. Of course, he deals with some off-the-court stuff with that woman in that case. And then he comes back and drops 50 for the T-Wolves a couple seasons ago. And you're like, you kind of root for that. It's like, all right, man, he's bouncing back. You kind of root for those reclamation projects.
I was rooting for Melo. You know me, I'm easy. I was rooting for Melo, guys.
Let's go to Raider Jolik. Raider Jolik, what's up, man?
What's going on, guys?
Hey,
so, what's up, baby?
So you guys, somebody mentioned Jimmy Rollins. I actually coached his cousin or nephew a few years ago, Osiris Johnson, and he was ended up being drafted in the first or second round by the Marlins. But aside from that, I was about 12 years old. I was a ball boy because my sister went to Castro Valley, and I was a ball boy for the football team, and they were playing San Leandro, and the quarterback there was Dennis Dixon, and he would go sideline to sideline, wow. And nobody could touch him. And then when he would be on the baseball field, he'd steal home straight up. And he was one of the best athletes I've ever seen, still to this day. And Jared Page was actually on that team as well. So
yeah, that's right.
That's what I got.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate
when you steal home, I don't care if it's Pony League. You are badass. Still at home, fellas.
Man, Dennis Dixon, man, had Oregon ranked number one, and I believe he tore his knee up at Oregon in that game against Arizona on a Thursday night, and they lost their number one ranking. But Dennis Dixon definitely should be mentioned amongst Bay Area elite.
Did he end up with the Steelers? Did he have a cup of coffee?
Yeah, he was with the Steelers.
Steelers.
Yeah. Yep, he had a cup of coffee with the Steelers. Third street quarterback, Dennis Dixon out of San Leandro.
Let's go to Rob. Rob's in San Bruno. What's up, Rob? What do you got?
What's going on, fellas? How y'all doing?
Hey.
What's up, Big Rob?
All right. What's going on, Bonte? But I just want to talk about documentaries I would like to see. And I would like to see the one with the Miami Heat 2011, the first year after the finals, after the debacle, where you seen LeBron clearly didn't want to give up the throne, and you seen Wade yelling at him. And I just want to see how that locker room was after the finals was over. Who was playing the blame game? Was there any fighting in there? This stuff like that. I feel like that moment right there kind of, it could have went two different ways. Wade could have been like, nah, I'm not doing this. I'm a superstar myself. You can bounce. But it went the better way because they learned how to play together. But in terms of that, I like to see that documentary because what I've seen on the floor, body language, it wasn't too many people happy with LeBron at that time. So on the Heat. So that's what I would like to see.
All right. There might have been stuff going on there.
See, I thought that was a match made in heaven. I didn't know that. I mean, I assumed it, but I was like, Wade's at a juncture in his career, fellas, to where he'll pass the baton. But I never thought Wade and Bron had a clash of whose team it was. I always thought Wade delegated that to Bron, and that's what made him successful.
Well, LeBron really – I mean, he – mentally, they were showing those games yesterday on NBA TV during our show, the Mavericks Heat series, and LeBron mentally didn't look right. Like, he did not look right. Like, I don't know what it was. Maybe he got nervous. Maybe the pressure of going to the Heat and trying to be a villain when LeBron in his, you know, that wasn't his nature to be that villain. He was a nice guy. He is a nice guy. He likes to be friends on the floor. I don't know what happened to him in that series. I don't know if they're in class with Wade.
And Jackson, they wouldn't let it go, Bonte. They kept saying he didn't look right. You know, they would speak on it. He would be dribbling and not taking his guy off the move, off the dribble, Steiny, and they were just relentless with like, see, James should have took it to the – I was like, man. And that was the time around the Delonte West rumors with his mother. And, again, I'm not in the know, but I just put myself in Bron's shoes – years past now that we kind of tend to think that may have been true with Gloria James. Like, you think that could have been in his dome to where that just had him all messed up, man? And if it did, that's one of those things where, damn, you deserve a pass.
Todd's in Lafayette. What's up, Todd?
Hey, guys. I heard Bonte mention earlier DJ Williams. I'm a Dale Sal guy from the late 90s, and obviously he was an unbelievable linebacker, but watch his highlight video as a running back. You know, they'd run that veer, and he would get 10 to 15 yards every time he touched it. But Bonte, you like this. I was a basketball guy, and he wanted to play basketball his junior year, and all he asked for, he wanted a week off in between football and basketball, and Coach Lacko said, no, you either come play right now or that's it. And we're like, no, you know, Coach, we need this guy. Give him a week off. But Coach played hardball, and DJ ended up walking. But he was one of the best basketball players I've seen. I mean, he had a 40-inch vert, unbelievable defender. So he was the best athlete I've seen by far.
You like Frank Alaco as a coach?
Oh, I did. I did. He was tough, man. He was tough as nails, but he was a great coach.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. That's what I've heard about him.
You know what? Great call there, and And then, you know what? Frank Alaco, when we were airing the USF games, Frank Alaco came to the 95-70 game studios. Kyle Smith, who was then coach of USF, and Alaco kind of told me a similar story. And when he first got the job at De La Salle, he walked in, he seen a kid in the weight room, and he asked Bob Lattiser, the football coach, said, who's that staff member in there lifting weights? And Coach Lattiser said, oh, that's a sophomore. That's DJ Williams. So Frank Alaco, he told me a story similar to that, where he wanted to play basketball, but he didn't want to give him that week off or something like that. So great call there. Great memory, man. Great insight.
Did you just say, come on, Bill?
Ultimatum, Steiny. Come on.
I'm giving the kid a week off.
Yeah, no doubt.
But I'm not a winning high school basketball coach either. Steven in Vallejo. What's up, Steven? How's it going, man?
Hey, what's up, gentlemen?
Hey.
Hey, just real quick, you know, we're all going through this, you know, virus and quarantine, and just appreciate everybody at the station still grinding and still sticking with us and still giving great content. But
thanks.
A guy touched on it earlier, when Ray Young, 1998, the playoffs and the Bay Area basketball scene was on fire then in high school, and I was following Vallejo High because actually made it to the Final Four and played against Ray Young at then it was Oakland Coliseum. So I actually got to go down and sit on the floor and watch that game. And that Vallejo team had Wesley Wilson, who was 6'11", had Brandon Armstrong, who actually went and played a little bit for the Nets, and CeCe Sabathia. But what was really cool about that team is they had like 7 or 8 guys that played basketball, baseball, and football. So they were all 3-sport stars on that squad. But Ray Young was just special. McClymans actually had a team that year with a couple of guards that were around, I don't know, 5'9", 5'10", that would get out on the break and dunk from outside the key, which was just, you know, when I was a sophomore in high school then. So it was really kind of cool to see all the athleticism around the Bay Area in that time. But real quick, Steiny, 30 for 30. I want to see Latrell Sprewell, and you'd actually probably get in on that too and might actually be a part of that for 30 for 30. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Oh, wow.
You know what? I have a feeling that honestly, I don't think a Latrell Sprewell documentary would be all that compelling. Believe it or not. He's a pretty boring guy outside physically accosting PJ Carlissimo. Outside of that, I mean, Sprewell, you know what?
But wasn't there a racial element to that, Steiny? The whole situation when they went to, was it the Park Oakland Hotel, and all the, I don't want to say black players were behind Sprewell. I'm like, and you know, some would say he was totally wrong for choking the coach, but I always thought there was something, you know, was there a racial element to that whole situation with Sprewell and Carlissimo? And where was the organization behind closed doors? You know, how much vodka were they drinking? Like, dude, we got something on our hands. Do we stand behind the player? And you would know better than me, Steiny, if that were the case. But I'll never forget what it looked like to Daryl Johnson as I was in my 20s, early 20s, when Sprewell was up there at that podium and all his teammates were backing him. I'm like, how does Carlissimo win and not lose in this situation?
I mean, they both came out losers, honestly. Wow. I think. They both lost. Sprewell, I mean, neither of them. I mean, again, we and I know we got to go to break, but think about it. I mean, PJ Carlissimo took Seton Hall to the NCAA Finals. In fact, they should have won the game. There was a bad call in that game late. But, you know, coach in the NBA, Sprewell had a first team all in. And
right.
The first thing anybody will ever think of, ever, when either of those two names are uttered, is choking, is the choke. And, like, that's one thing that, to me, must stink for both those guys, but you know, it happened, and that's what people remember. All right, on the other side, we're going to take more of your phone calls. Also want to drop a little news on you. That's all brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full-service banking, no compromises.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.